I am tempted to go on a tangent there about that song. I just love the real life that that song covers, and it's the sweetness that also goes through some trials and stuff. I should spend 10, 15 minutes on that song alone, but I've got another text that I want to take you to, and that is found on the back of your message outline. And I will intro this text with this in mind. I think this week might be, in the summer length of our church, the most exhausting and yet the most rewarding week of summer annually in the life of this congregation there. And I think those two go together, exhausting and rewarding. Isn't it athletes that hold the trophies and just enjoy it the most, those who sweated the most to get it? Like, I think Mike Durning talked on that last week there with us as a culture just needing to sweat some more at times and not to expect the trophies in life without putting the time in life in that kind of way. He touched on that subject last week in his guest preaching. There's something about exhaustion and yet working for a worthwhile reward that goes together, including in this Christian journey. Something that we want to embrace there together. And so my pastoral advice with VBS in mind, but just the Christian journey in general in mind, is that we embrace the grind. There is something good in this Christian journey about giving yourself to a worthwhile task, to being tired in that task, to sleep and then to repeat for that next day. There's something in that regular rhythm of this, of what God is forming through the grind in that. It's all a gift. He empowers us to do it, but he's leading us in a certain direction, and that does take effort to live into that direction. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about 2 Peter chapter 1, from which we're going to get our theme verse for VBS week, but more importantly, it's our life verse about what we're doing as Christians and why we do what we do. Sharing in the divine nature, and yet that divine nature doing something in us, that because of God's work, we work. Salvation is all a work of God, not by man's works there. It's a gift of God, but because of what God has done, that works something within us that we need to work through us there in the service, in the direction we do. And VBS is just one example of that line of service of God working through us to point further people to his glory and the kingdom come. So let's turn into 2 Peter chapter 1. It's found on the back of your message outline. This is the text where our theme verse comes from. And I just want to get the context around our theme verse. Theme verse is in verse 3, but the context around that will help us understand as we go through this week and hear these words often repeated in this place. So this is the Word of God found in 1 Peter chapter 1. And before we get into it, let's just simply pray. Lord, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for your works, and we're just praying that as we're gathered here today on another Sunday, that you would speak, not just a general word, but a personal word, and that because of that, Lord, we would see the sweetness of that name, Jesus, and what you're aligning our footsteps to follow after. We ask for this in his name, and his people said, amen. Amen. Let's pick up verse 1 of chapter 1 it should be 2 Peter, not 1 Peter. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Christ, to those who received a faith equal to ours through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Christ Jesus our Lord. So, intro of a letter, it's kind of similar to what Paul does in many of his letters. Peter is doing the same thing. It's written by Simon Peter. And chances are, if you know anything about the 12 disciples of Jesus, you've heard the name Simon Peter before. As a matter of fact, in Wiggly Worship Camp, my station all summer long has been to teach the kids about Simon Peter's story on the sea. He was a fisherman, and one day out on the sea, he was sailing with 12 disciples. When they thought they saw a ghost, it was Jesus walking on water. And who's the only other individual besides the God-man to walk on water with Jesus? It's Simon Peter. He's that kind of figure in faith. He's the one who first said, Jesus, you're the Son of the living God. And then in the next breath said, Jesus, you're not going to go to the cross. The same one that denied him a couple years after that fact. So Simon Peter, he knows the highs and lows of this journey with Jesus, right? He knows what it is to walk on water. He knows what it is to deny Jesus. He knows what it is to confess him. He knows what it is to flee from him. This is that individual writing this letter. And he writes from a place of authority. He's an apostle, and yet also this acknowledgement and authority of humility. because he realizes, because of what Jesus has done for him and for all of us, that we are faith equal to ours through righteousness to God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. There's authority, and yet there's equality because of what Jesus has done for all in this manner. So he's writing from both these aspects where he says, grace and peace be multiplied in you. Verse 3, here's our theme verse. He says, his divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. We're going to return to that in just a moment. We're going to hear it often said through the week. It's projected right behind me there. But it's this reminder that we are invited to share in God's divine nature. And that he, through his nature, has given us everything that we need, everything that's required, everything to equip us for this game of life. Catching the kind of play in? We'll talk more on that a little bit later. But we are in this journey of life, and yet we don't do it alone. God's divine nature is equipping us, resourcing us, enabling us to handle whatever obstacles that we're coming across to get us to the finish line that is the forever with him. More on this to come, like I said. Verse 4, by these he's given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption of this world because of evil desires. Did you catch the connection between sharing in the promises of God and his divine nature? Like the promises of God, like what we have, what we're reading right now, what Andrew read just a moment ago, that book itself containing the promises, the very word of God, and how that enables us to access the nature of God. How do we live into the fullness of this journey? We understand this in our day and age where you constantly have to plug into things, right? There might be a resource, but you got to engage that resource. You got to plug into that outlet. How do we access the power of God? We got to stay plugged into him. We got to remain in him. And so there's plug-in points for experiencing God's divine nature. One of those is the promises of God, that book that we have where God in some way charges us and reminds us and guides us and empowers us for this game of life together. There's more good truth in this. Verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement to your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. It's a long list there, right? There might be a needed time down the road to just simply preach through each words of those in the faith journey. There might be a time this week where maybe you just want to reflect on one of those words each day as you go through the week. Starts with faith. This journey with God starts with faith. This simple trust, this belief that he is who he says he is and did what he said he did. It starts that journey with faith, but it doesn't end with faith, right? Starts with faith, but faith is to form goodness. Never just about head knowledge in the Christian journey. It's a lifestyle that's patterned after following Jesus. The good God should lead to goodness being expressed in your life. Faith should lead to goodness, and goodness to knowledge. It's not just an attempt to do the right thing. It's to know what is right and what is wrong. There is a headpiece, the renewing of our mind that takes place in this journey with Jesus. But with knowledge, self-control. That's a bad word, right? Self-control. That's where in this Christian journey, you have to tell yourself no sometimes so that you can tell God yes. Have you told yourself no lately? We don't like doing that, right? Whatever I want, when I want it, that's mine. I have a right to it. Self-control in this Christian journey. And the more and more you grow with Jesus, the more and more you might have to tell yourself no. Because God might be pointing you in a different direction than self wants to go in at times. Got self-control in the bag? It's part of the journey with Jesus. Self-control, endurance. Oh, don't just tell yourself no once, huh? It's got to be a habitual pattern. Endurance means you're in it for the long haul. Not just a yes for the moment, but day after day, step after step, this is the direction I'm going in. Endurance with godliness. Not your direction, but God's direction. What is godliness lived out? in real life, this devotion to him. Godliness with brotherly affection. You should care more about people if you're really caring about God. That's what brotherly affection is. Brothers and sisters in faith and caring for real people in real places, Christ's people do that. And with brotherly affection comes love. Love, that great selfless sacrificial word, and it's the word in the Greek text, agape. It's the love that God has that he shows us, and you don't got that kind of love apart from God and plugging into his nature. Like, this is a task bigger than what you can handle. That's what I'm trying to spell out in all this, right? All those traits are bigger than what you can handle, and yet remember the context of these verses. Started with verse 3. There's a divine nature. There's an empowering, a equipping for your life to grow and cultivate these things in your life. You got to stay connected to that divine nature. You got to stay connected to God if these things are to grow in you. Can we just do a mirror check real quick as we head into VBS week? Mirror check is, are these things growing in my life or are they not? Are these things in my life or are they not? Like, this is a part of the Christian journey. Are these in it? That's the mirror check that we can only do looking deep into ourself and our soul. But this is the connecting piece that says, yes, I'm connected to Christ, or no, I'm disengaged from him. If these things are growing in us. And say, preacher man, like I want to, there's this desire, but I wonder in some of this. I will say this, just a little caveat, little breathing room here. Trees don't realize they're growing, do they? I was looking through some pictures of the past couple years of Vacation Bible School, and like, I've grown in some different ways that I wasn't even aware of 10 years ago in this different way. Rick might be the only one that got that, of the growth in those ways. But we grow, and we don't always realize it. Sometimes in negative ways there that I was hinting at, but sometimes in positive ways. So maybe, as we're looking at this there, the growth isn't obvious in the day in, day out, but 5 years ago, are you the same person that you are today? And pray to God that in the future 5 years that there's going to be more of these attributes that are grown and cultivated further in you. That this journey of growth doesn't always happen in the moment, but it's happening over the long haul. And as we look back and as we look ahead, we're grateful for what God's divine nature has done in us. And we're praying, God, we need more of that. God, we need more of you in our life in that way. Hear these blunt truths in verse 8 after that list. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This Christian journey is about increasing in that way of life. Possess these qualities in increasing measure. People, being a Christian, it is not about just slapping a label to your life that's alongside Buckeyes fan and Browns fan, Republican and Democrat, Christian, just one label that helps characterize our life. Being a Christian, this is going to surprise some of you, isn't even just about having your past forgiven. Being a Christian isn't even just about serving in VBS or having a certificate with your name on the membership roll call. Being a Christian is about increasing in a way of life. It's not just about what you've done, it's about what he is doing in your life. Don't stop this journey halfway. God wants to form and cultivate and multiply some things in your life. So don't just say, I prayed a prayer in the past, or I helped out with this event in the past, or I did this in the past. What is he doing in you today? Are you following today, or do we get stuck in the journey or stuck in some pew? He wants to increase this in us. Don't worry, we are getting to happy places, okay? It's VBS week, but let's look back, let's look in the mirror, and let's see what God is inviting us into. With his divine nature, always empowering the way out forward. He's wanting to increase these things in us. And he says if they're not increasing in us, then we don't really know the one that we're following. Tough words, blunt words, God's words. Let's keep going. Verse 9. The person who lacks these things is blind and short-sighted, and has forgotten the cleansing from his past sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, because if you do these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be richly provided for you. We're headed somewhere. There's a trophy, but there's some sweat getting to that trophy. How many times does he mention effort in what he's saying? His closing words in this section is this: therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you know them and are established in the truth that you now have. I think it right, as long as I am in this bodily tent, to wake you up with a reminder, since I know that I will soon lay aside my tent, as our Lord Jesus Christ is indeed made clear to me. And I will also make every effort so that you are able to recall these things at any time after my departure. It's the Word of God, and it's the story of our life. And in that, you get the impression that Peter, as an older man, is looking back and saying, I know you know these things, but I'm going to remind you some things. This is the Christian journey. This is what it means to follow Jesus. And what is he doing in your life now? You're still connected to him. You're cultivating these fruits that he wants to put within you. I told you it once. I'm going to tell you again and again and again. You just kind of get that impression. Now, that's what Peter is writing to a group of believers that he's called to oversee in those ways. So how does that tie into game night VBS? That's the context around our theme verse. Let's return to our theme verse and say this one with me, okay? This is going to be said early and often in our time of VBS this week by the kids at hand, and so we're going to get a heads up on them. If you memorize it like they do, I will give you a piece of candy next week, okay? That's the incentive to them. I will give it to you. Don't forget to bring in the candy this week, but let's read it together. 2 Peter 1. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Again, his divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. One more time. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. How does that verse tie into where we're headed together today and this week for VBS? I will say, in leading up to VBS, I had a series of conversations with my wife, not as my wife, but as the Christian Ed Director of this church. I was concerned about a few things with VBS. If you noticed on those purple inserts that have sign up for children's ministry in VBS or in Glow or in Wiggly Worship, the little icon used for VBS had a lot of dices and playing deck cards. And I said, what are we teaching this year at VBS? Is it VBS or is it Vegas? Like, oh, and she said, no, the emblem will be different in that way. And the second question, the more serious question I had was, how does our theme verse tie in to game night VBS? What's the connection there? And she brought up the game of life and what's required for life God has provided in it. Hence the connection between our theme verse and Family Night VBS. And so what we're going to do in the days and weeks to come, beginning tonight, is we're going to be walking through board games that are common board games. Families, kids play these board games, but that can help us unpack biblical truth behind it too. And one of those board games is life, and others that we'll go through together. I'm going to give you what we're going to be covering through in VBS starting tonight and in the rest of the week so that maybe you can have some dialogue as a family. You're going to know what they're learning that night and what they're heading forward to in that way, or just have some dialogue across current in the church with kids as you come across them in the week at hand. And so I think this will help for conversation, and I think it will help us understand some deep biblical truths and maybe everyday board games. Next time you bust out Uno, it might not be done in the same way in the light of this. And so here's some lessons learned that we're drawing together in the day and the week ahead with this verse in mind. The first thing that we're going to do, and this is spoiler alert, kids, if you want to plug your ears to some of this, go ahead, do that right at this time. But the first of those that we're going to be learning today is through the game of life. That's going to be our board game of choice. And the main point question is, God knows your life and wants to give you the full life. We want the kids, every single one that comes through these doors, to know that God cares for their life, that God created their life, that they're not just some chance genetic mutation, that they're not some mistake of their parents, that God created each and every life, and he cares for that individual life. The Bible tells us not only that God cares for our life, he's got a plan and purpose for our life. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Some kids don't know that about life, that there's a purpose for their life, that they're not useless, they're not just taking up space in the ozone and atmosphere, that God uniquely created them, wove them together in their mother's womb, and has a purpose for them outside of that womb. God's got a plan and a purpose for them. Jesus said it this way, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full." Jesus wants that life brimming and overflowing others in that way. And he came for that point of showing us that kind of a life and what living that kind of life looks like. We want kids to know that their life is not a mistake, that they were created, that they are cared for, and that Jesus knows the way to this life that they most want, that they might feel lost and oblivious to in this moment. Each and every kid, we hope, understands that truth after day one of VBS tonight. That'll lead into day two of VBS. And day two plays with the game of Twister and Trouble. Those fun games reveal this twisted and troubling truth in God's word, that is this, that life sometimes gets twisted, but God's not left us in the trouble. Life can be messy at times. And you know, kids know that too. From the first scraped knee, from the first sniffle and cough, from sibling squabbles there, or parent squabbles, kids can know the mess of life at times too. Life can feel troubling and twisted and asking the questions, and where's God at in all of this? We want to remind the kids through that God has not left them in the twisting and troubling times. Jesus actually said these words. I had to say it at a funeral this week of a family that's known real tragedy, unexpected deaths throughout their time together. And yet I tried to remind them of God's truth here that comes from the words of Jesus in John 16. He says, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble." It's not a game. This is real life. You will have trouble. You will have hardships. You will have pain. You will have suffering in life. It's a guarantee by Jesus' words himself. But the Christian's enabled to take heart. Why? Because Jesus has overcome the world. It's a perspective peace in the midst of all that he actually invites his peace. I love the way he's framed that, right? In this world, you will have trouble. Blank, blunt truth. Life hurts. Gets twisted. You get in trouble. It's not a board game thing. But on both sides of that blunt truth is that in me you may have peace. Not always in your situation of peace. Not always in your circumstances will you have peace. But Jesus is available, the Prince of Peace, to meet you in those situations. Well, why does he do that? I don't know. Sometimes Jesus does save us from trouble and hardship. The majority of times in Scripture, though, he doesn't save us out of hardship. He walks with us through hardship. Do you remember that most known psalm in the Bible? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." Those are good times in life, right? We love green pastures. We love still waters. But you know in that same psalm, he also says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Doesn't mince that those times come in life too. Valley days. And does he? Does he ignore us in those valleys? No. He's with us in those valleys. He walked through those same valleys. That's why I'm a Christian, right? Our God is not one that just sits on the clouds. Our God is incarnate. He walks in our shoes. The God-man came and was born in a virgin's womb to live the life that you lived, to walk on that same planet that your souls hit the feet thereof. There's something that Jesus does in the midst of these circumstances that shows us how to live even in hard times. He went to a cross, and he's still staying connected to God, still praying to him on the cross, still quoting Scripture on the cross, still forgiving people that hung him on the cross. How does he handle troubling times? Like I want to handle troubling times, with a legacy through those troubling times that don't end in those times either. Here's that end perspective piece, right? Blunt truth, in this world you'll have trouble. The opportunity in Jesus, you can have peace. The other sandwich board to that, take heart. I've overcome the world. There's more than just this life, aka. That you're walking through troubling times, but this life isn't all there is to life. Don't forget that perspective piece. This world's troubles aren't all that you're going to experience. There's another world to come. I've come to lead you in that. He reminds us in the midst of troubles that triumph peace that can lead us in the truth and help us to handle trials differently because of it. Game of Trouble and Twister, classic. You'll be living it in so many different ways, but you need God's truth in the midst of it. Amen? Just because he said amen doesn't mean it's over. Number three, okay? Uno, the game Uno. Jesus is the Uno who leads us to heaven. Jesus is the one who came to lead us to heaven. God's word says this. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Some like to kick back at that claim there and say, what do you mean, Jesus? Christianity is exclusive. What about people of other religions in this way? I will just simply say, as one that has looked into other religions as well, I'm surprised by how differential other religions are. Muhammad, Buddha, Moses, they didn't claim to be the way. They claim to point to a way or to make light enlightened to a way, but none of those, Moses, Muhammad, Buddha, ever claimed to be the way. Like, Jesus' words are shocking words when you compare them even to other world leaders in that kind of a way. What Christianity claims is the reason why Jesus is the way is because he came from heaven to earth to show us back home to heaven. I will often say, and I will just remind you again, how do you get somewhere that you've never been? Has anyone been to heaven before? Like, you got the GPS coordinates that I ask you, I can just plug it in and I can arrive there? Like what Christianity claims is that the one who was eternally existent in heaven came incarnate on earth in a virgin's womb, what we celebrate at Christmas. So why does Jesus know the way to heaven? Because he's been there and come from there and he's come to lead us back there. That's a different claim than other claims saying that this might be the coordinates, or I think this is the coordinates, or this is what was revealed to me. This is claim I've been there and I'm showing you the way there. That's why Jesus says I'm the way and the truth and the life. We take his words or we leave his words. Like the way C.S. Lewis put it, Jesus is either the Lord or a liar or a lunatic. Can't be all he's either the Lord, really what he says is the truth, or he's a liar. He's misleading people. What's surprising about even how other religions treat Jesus is that he's a good moral teacher. Even if they're not willing to say that he's the God-man like Christians are, they will at least say he's the good moral teacher. They don't claim him to be a liar. So liar must be X'd out. Lunatic, people are flocking to hear his teachings. You can read his teachings 2,000 years later and say there's real wisdom to this. This guy knows life. This isn't baddie in some way. This is real wisdom in this way. So not a lunatic. It must be that he's the Lord. At least that's my conclusion. Different conclusion for your own self there. But if he's the Lord, then all of a sudden we have to listen to his words with a different weight. Uh-oh, it's not my opinion pitted against his opinion. If he really is the Lord of the universe, then gulp. I got to start listening to what he says and then just say, oh, I think it should be this way. And I will argue, too, lastly, that I think that makes Christianity the most inclusive, not exclusive religion. If Jesus really is the way to heaven, then it's not about what you have done or haven't done. It's not about your bank account or what's not in your bank account. It's not about your race or what's not in your race. It's not about you being a part of a caste system or not a caste system. If you've done these five pillars or not done these five pillars, it's about what he's done, less about what you've done, which totally throws open the doors that this is for everyone, not just a select few, or not just those reincarnated to a certain class. Like this is totally a game changer. If Jesus really is the way, the truth, and the life, the Uno to heaven. We'll be talking about that on day three of VBS, which leads to the closing day. Closing day being this. The game of Connect Four reminds us that our task is to connect to Jesus and then to connect others to him too. You know the game of Connect Four, it's all about connecting, and the first one to four connections win. Well, our life is a life of connection. First, connecting to God and then enabling connecting others to God in the walk with him. Jesus puts it this way in John 15. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Remain in me is a connecting word, isn't it? With the imagery of vines and branches, Jesus is teaching us really about connecting. And our journey in this Christian journey is to connect to him, to remain in Jesus. That's why it starts with faith. That's why it starts with trust. That's why it starts with leaning in his direction. It's a connecting word. Remain in me and I in you. Things are going to happen. You will bear much fruit. And you know what a healthy vine does, right? It just doesn't stay as one branch and vine. That branch and vine shoots off, makes other branches and vine, and all of a sudden, it's this tangly mess that's a beautiful dance of what the Christian journey is to be like. Staying connected to the main source, and in that main source, finding other shoots responsive in the spheres of our life. The people in our family, the people in our workplaces, the people God has surrounded in our sphere of influence to be influencing them. Making use of every opportunity in sincere, winsome, and genuine ways. Not bashing over the head, but looking for opportunities and praying for opportunities to speak the truth of Jesus in life. It's the game of connecting for, staying connected to him and helping others connect to a walk in relationship with him. It's going to be a happening week. No profit, but VBS always seems to be a happening week with twists and turns along the route. I'm telling you, exhausting and yet rewarding. And those two go together. Enjoy the journey. Get some sleep. Repeat. And go through that because this is the journey of what it is to follow Jesus. And as you're stretched and as you're strained, maybe even serving in ways that leave you a little bit uncomfortable, God, through the stress and the strain, is growing and maturing and nurturing something in that. This Christian journey is to be increasing. And that doesn't mean that you can just stay stagnant, stay with what's comfortable. No, it continually means we got to take that step into what's the uncomfortable. But through that journey, God is forming some traits in us and through us to others that is making a lasting difference. Let's not forget that perspective piece. Amen? Let's pray towards that perspective piece before we dance to it in just a moment. That's your warning that if eyes are closed, you might just want to head out if you're not wanting to dance to this. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, it is a happening week. We see that even through the decorations and the packets that have been passed down and all the expectation around it. It's a happening week, but Lord, we've missed the boat if we're not asking you to be in the happenings. We want to teach your truth, Lord. We want to live your truth. We want to represent that truth to the young lives that are going to make their way through these doors, and so we're asking for your help to do that. Lord, we believe your word that you don't leave us alone, that you've equipped us for life with your divine nature. And I'm just praying that you show us the places to plug into that nature, Lord, so that you can flow in us and through us in the ways that you most want to. Lord, we're asking for your divine nature to be on display, not only in the young lives, but in the parents that are dropping them off, and the people that are coming out for family fun night. Lord, just mark it all with yourself. Your goodness, your glory on full display. And Lord, may that make an eternal difference. We pray for that. In the name of Jesus. And his people said,